Unscripted.
What?
Unshackled. Uncouth.
Miguel, Holly, and Scotty are bringing you a new uncensored podcast daily to make sense of your quickly changing world.
It's Miguel and Holly Uncensored. Corncast Edition from Hot 101.5.
Made hot by Corona Beer.
Hello. We are back. It is Wednesday. And Holly, didn't you just read something that people literally don't know what day it is ever?
Yeah. Everyone's confused because everyone's work schedule is all thrown off. And if you're not working, then you really have lost track of what day it is. So it all kind of blends together.
Oof. I can't imagine.
Well, you can, because I don't know about you, but I'm feeling that. Like, all day long, I've been like, is it Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday? Because I get Mondays and Fridays.
Right.
That's pretty regular, but like these middle days, I don't know. It could be any one of them.
I feel like, at least because I'm always focused on like what the show looks like the next day, that's the only thing keeping me grounded in reality.
Gotcha.
Otherwise, I feel like I would be floating out in space right now. Like, if I didn't have to focus on planning a show for, because, you know, there are some things that we do that are sensitive for that day.
Yeah.
So I got to kind of know, like, where we are with things for the week. But if I didn't have to do that, whereas I know some of my friends that are working from home, where they get up, they do whatever it is that they do on their computer, and then they take a little lunch break, then they get back on for a little bit, and then they maybe walk outside. They're like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Every day is the same.
I guess I should know, because I'm working and I'm coming to work, but it's like when I get home, I get sucked into a black hole. I don't know.
I feel like it should be, it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, because it all just sort of blends together.
I do know what days are Saturday and Sunday, because I don't have to come to work.
And that's because I'm drinking usually those days.
Oh, well, that also.
A nice Corona seltzer, because they're so delicious.
Yes.
So, Scott.
Oh.
How are you doing?
With what exactly?
Everything.
Like, everything?
I feel like I felt some, like, just something. Granted, behind the scenes, because our show now is going on a little bit longer. And so we had some miscommunications with corporate about how we're doing it, what's going on. And so I think we're finally, like, on the right track of making sure everything's the way it's supposed to be. And I know I had a little meltdown earlier behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
Yeah.
Just a little bit. But you've been quiet. How are you feeling?
I mean, if we're talking behind the scenes, I'm just frustrated. I hate, like, our job is to communicate, and somehow people mess that up. No, I'm just frustrated because in these times that we're trying to do the best that we can and be as efficient and at the same time, and here's what I keep thinking to myself, is like, we are still human. Like, our job is, yes, to entertain and inform, and at the root of us is we're still humans.
Right.
That I feel like sometimes there's other people that forget that part. Where they're like, oh, work them. And, you know, in these stressful times, like, it's almost to a point where it's like, I luckily love what we do, but there is going to be a point where if we keep miscommunicating or missing the mark on what we need to do, we're going to get overworked and not be able to do it efficiently.
Right.
And the right way.
Frustrated.
Yeah.
And so for me, like, that's the frustrating part where I'm like, y'all, you know, especially like going to noon till now, like, that's awesome. Heck yes.
Mm-hmm.
But if we don't go about it the right way, like, that's a lot.
Right.
That is a lot to put on your shoulders to make sure that you're, that's half the day of, you know, doing it. And so it's just a lot to handle, and there's a lot to process on how it's going to work. And it's just frustrating to see that right now it feels like there's a section that just doesn't understand that we still have needs, you know, to be met through this whole thing. And that honestly what it comes down to is like, hey, let's all get on a phone call and Zoom and figure out what we both need. Don't just tell me what to do. Let's come to an understanding of what we should do of the greater good for what we do as a job, but also ourselves. Because right now it just feels like, do this, not, hey, is this going to work for you?
Right.
Oh, okay. Because that'd be great during these times when you're already stressed out with life to have somebody at least try to understand where you're at and then kind of work toward that.
I feel like that's probably one of the biggest complaints about working as an adult, no matter what industry you're in, is the miscommunication and the expectation of what people are supposed to be doing, mm-hmm. and sort of the empathy of the process that people go through to work. Because, you know, if you are, and this is these are assumptions, if you are, say, a bank teller, or you work in a bank where you, like, there's a process A, B, C, D, this is how you do it. Mm-hmm. And so if someone's like, hey, we have this new way, oh, cool. Like, you, instead of pressing this button, you press this
button.
Now
it's A, C, B.
Right.
Instead of A, B, C.
And it makes sense. But when you work in a field where it's sort of creative and it's very subjective, it can, like, throw you off sometimes when there's no sort of handle with care. But then I also go back and forth about, like, you know, do you just be an adult? You just shut the F up and just do it?
For me, like, I don't know. Again, I'm not much of an adult, but I also have the understanding of, like, what we do. It's like, for me, we were getting into a nice flow. And I think especially with our job, and my only example could really be our job because I've only worked in a couple different places. But, like, we have a flow on, you know, feeling good and being able to give our best.
Right.
And when you take something the way that takes that away, you're not only just hurting us, but you're hurting the people that listen to us. Because, and that's what I thought of today when, like, I was kind of getting frustrated with what's happening and just, like, the way our show runs and stuff like that. I'm like, we were doing so good. We're doing good because we're having fun with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I notice is, like, when we get frustrated, like, you're hurting the product.
Right.
It's like you're missing an ingredient from a recipe.
Mm.
And that's the fun factor. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think there needs to be this common understanding of, like, yes, there maybe, like, there's something that I'm not seeing of why things have to be a certain way. But in those cases, help us all understand so we're not just sitting here frustrated in the middle of something when we're trying to be our best.
That is super valid. That's super valid. Because when we stop having fun, it doesn't go as well.
It doesn't, no. And you feel it. It just feels like crap.
And does it come down to money?
Yeah, I mean, I think in any industry, and hopefully this makes sense if you're listening, that because I feel like this is universal to
this
most
is very,
businesses.
Very much all across the board, I think.
Is I feel like for our generation, and I'm painting with a very broad stroke here. So we are millennials. Holly, you're 38. I'm 35. Scott, you're 23.
Yeah.
So in our working lifetimes, maybe Holly, when you first got into this business or like the economy as a whole, mm-hmm. there was a plethora of things or of resources.
Mm-hmm.
So for instance, because all I can speak to is like what we do in radio, because this is outside of like working at Barnes & Noble. I never had like another job, another career outside of this. So like a lot of times in radio stations, you'll have like 6 or 5 radio stations. They call it a cluster. And when I started, every radio station had a promotions director, and that's a person that's in charge of all the events where you see us at, what we call remotes. So if we're like, hey, it's Miguel hanging out at Furman of Wesley Chapel, come on down, I got some t-shirts and some hot dogs to give away, and they're the people that set all that up. Well, when I started in Savannah years ago, every radio station in our building in Savannah, a smaller market, had a promotions director for each one, had a boss, a program director, and then a music director, and they had all this staff. And so like you did a lot, but you had people that were responsible for one specific thing. But then because of, I don't know, the economy, their industry, I don't know, it shrunk. And so now you'll have 6 radio stations and you'll have like one promotions director over 6 radio stations.
Ugh.
And so then when you have one person having to schedule, and this is just an example, just to sort of like make it easy for you to understand, one person, like they have to do everything, things get missed, there's miscommunication, whatever. I can't understand what has changed with the economy. Like do things cost more that they have to spend on for businesses now, and why they don't have as many resources and many people? Or technology has just made it for a lot of industries to where we don't need 5 people here doing it because we got Bob the computer that can do four people's jobs. So now we just need you, Holly, to oversee Bob the computer to make sure it's working.
Yeah, but I mean, there's that. There's definitely that. But I was thinking more along the lines of, and we really are not allowed to talk about this, but like we're sort of a slave to the numbers.
Right.
And so everyone is so stressed about, like, it goes far-reaching. So, like, in the pandemic right now, our sales staff is struggling because mm-hmm. no other businesses are spending money on advertising because right. that they don't feel like that's essential. And so our salespeople aren't getting any income. Our radio stations aren't getting any income. And then our ratings have to do well because then once the income may start to come back, nobody's going to want to spend money on low ratings.
Right.
So they're afraid to let us do what we want to do because of the ratings and then the revenue. And it's just like, I don't know. I'm not a business person. Yeah. I really wish that I had taken a business course or at least gotten some business training in college. And that's always what I say to college kids because I'm like, doing what you want is great.
Right.
But you should have a wider knowledge beyond just what you want to do.
Yeah.
Because I have no idea how it all works. I don't know.
Well, I struggle with this too because I feel like, yes, having business knowledge is great. But, like, there are some people that are just inherently good at business who have, like, a good business acumen. Like, they can look at a situation and deduce it. Like, there's just things that you're naturally good at.
Okay.
So, like, if I tried to learn what my boyfriend Abe knows, like, when I talk to his parents, it's so fascinating because they're like, even as a young child, he would be able to, like, look at a Tonka truck. Whereas, like, the other brothers and sisters would, like, play with the Tonka truck, Abe would look at it and then take it apart and then try to put it back together. Mm. Because he has one of those minds that he just wants to understand how things work.
That's how his mind works.
Right. And I'm like, girl, I don't care. Like, I never want to know how a car works, how we get electricity, or how our voices in this room get to you and your phone at some point in the next couple of months or years.
It's magic.
It is. It's magic. To me, in my mind, it practically is magic because I don't get it. And so I don't know if trying to have that business acumen would make it better.
Oh, maybe not.
I don't know. But does it? Because at least if you have the knowledge, then you can at least make educated decisions. And that's what a lot of time as an adult, I feel I lack. Like, I feel like sometimes I don't know how to act in certain situations. Like, we had some stuff with our boss, Will, yesterday that I sort of just, like, lost my ish. And, like, normally I always try to play it, like, very cool professionally.
Yeah.
And not let things rattle me too much because I feel like, you know, who wants to work with a volatile person who's, like, always like, ah, whoo, ah,
my head. That's a little bit unfortunate. Yeah, no good.
Well, I had one of those days yesterday where I was like, ah, whoo.
But the good news is that you don't do it all the time.
True.
You're pretty good about doesn't it maintained.
I guess.
In the professional setting.
Do you ever wonder, like, what your perception is, like, in the business world or, like, for instance, like, in our radio station to, like, the higher-ups? Like, to me, in my mind, I feel like I always look like the kid who, like, doesn't know what he's talking about but, like, tries. Where it's like I've been around long enough to like throw out some things of like, yeah, you know, the
That's so interesting because I feel like you, like, as I watch you and you as well, Holly, like in these situations, like I think that's like your little like self-conscious, like making those comments. Because to me, when those situations go down, I'm like literally have no idea what's going on. But y'all are like bap, bap, bap. I'm like, all right, yeah. Them. They said it. Take that, bitch.
Oh, God. That's funny. And I didn't ever think about that until I started working full time. And then I realized it was like a slow revelation that my PD, my program director, my boss at the time, I realized he thought that I was like the dumb blonde. Even though I was like, I've been like back and forth hair coloring wise. Doesn't right. matter.
Not
but
just blonde.
I just realized that he thought that I was just completely like an idiot. Mm. And I've never been the idiot. Like, right. I've always been like the straight A student, like the hard worker, the nerd who other people go to get the right answer. And then suddenly I was fulfilling some other role of being the dummy. Mm. And I was like really offended by that. And I remember I had to sit down and have a talk with him. I wrote notes in a notebook and I was like, I don't appreciate that you think that I'm an idiot. And he's like, well, show me otherwise. And I was like,
oh,
the fuck do I need to do now? Like, what? anyway, we worked that out after several years. But it finally occurred to me right then that your perception to others matters.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you don't even control it.
Right. But that's the hard part is, like, in my mind, I always want to be, and this is dating me, and you won't get this, Scott.
Okay,
probably,
good.
I don't think you will, because I don't think you watch this show. No. Like, in my mind, growing up, I always wanted to be, this is so stupid, I always wanted to be in business. Amanda Woodward from Melrose Place, Heather Locklear's character, where she owned D&D advertising, and, like, she slayed that bitch. Like, whenever she had a meeting, she would come in with her high heels clickety-clacking in, and she'd open up the glass doors, and she'd throw the files down and say, "Who fucked this up? What's going on?" Everyone would be like, uh-oh, we gotta, like, get it right for Amanda. She demands excellence. And so in my mind, I always wanted to be like that. Now, that's what I had in my mind growing up of what I wanted to be like. But now I'm sitting here with my hoochie shorts on and my thighs are, like, plastered out on here.
Same.
Like, I haven't probably washed a shirt in a couple of times that I've worn it. Like, and I just feel like what I wanted to be as a professional is not what actually happened. Like, what do the higher ups think of me and what I bring to the table? Like, I'm always so curious about that.
I don't know. And it's so interesting because you make life choices based on what you know is best for you and what your best efforts. And to you, it's one thing, but to someone else, based on their view of reality, it could be a complete other one.
And that's also the thing. It's like, you could only control what you can control.
Right.
Like, your attitude toward things. Obviously, you bring ideas to the table. You're aggressive after what you want. If somebody doesn't get that from that, then they're just missing the whole point.
But that's a risk you take.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Like, you could only control what you could control. So if you have a perception of how you want to be, bring that to the table.
Yeah.
That's all you could do. Because, of, like, they're either going to get it or they're not.
Right. And though the people that don't get it, that's not your tribe.
Yeah, no, you keep working people. Just on who you want to be, and the right people will gravitate toward that.
That's what I learned a lot this year, and I'm still working through it. I don't even know if I'm there yet. But what I realized is I'm going to do things for whatever reason that I believe in and I understand and I get. And it makes perfect sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody else might look at it that way. And I might look like a complete dumbass.
Mm.
People might question me. People might, they're like, I don't really know about that. But I had to let go of the fallacy of control. I have no control over how people look at me. That's where you get that whole, like, the facade, like the false persona that you want to, you want people to see you in a certain way. Because I think we all do that, right?
Right. Absolutely.
We all want people to see us in a certain way.
Right.
Respectable or fun-loving or whatever the adjective might be. But at the end of the day, all you can really be is who you are. And until it lines up who you are versus who you want people to see you as, until it becomes the same thing, you're going to struggle.
Mm. So you just live your life not caring what other people think? Is that what it comes down to? Or is that what you're working towards in your life?
Yes, I think so. But, I mean, it's hard. Obviously, that's way easier said than done. Also, I do think that, I think it is. And it's hard. Oh, I just repeated myself. But, okay, I'm just stream of consciousness.
Yeah, talking through it.
I was going to say, there are still some people that you're trying to impress, like a boss or, in my case, a parent. Mm. But then the more I thought about that, no. Like, yes, you want to impress, but you also want to do it for yourself.
Exactly, yes.
You want to do well for yourself, not to let yourself down. And then a good boss will see that you're doing the most that you can do and bringing to the table something unique and different. And they shouldn't expect you to live up to some crazy standards that they've created because that might not fit who you are. Now, obviously, I feel like this sort of goes without saying, like, there are a certain set of rules that we live by
right.
in society. Like, you're not going to come, like, I'm also wearing my hoochie shorts today. So, like, but we're in weird times.
Right.
Like, you're not going to come into the office in a bathing suit and be like, this is my best life.
Mm.
Because that's not really society's rules. And if you want to work in a business, you also can't wear your bathing suit every day. So, like, there's a set of standards, I feel like, that we all have to play by.
Right.
But post that, like after that, the common standards, like if you're expected to dress nicely in the office, you can't come in wearing like, you know, a sheet. After that, you only have to do it to prove to yourself that you can, or because you want to, because you love what you do, or because you are excelling at it, or you're passionate about it. And then that will impress other people on its own, I think. Mm. And the thing about parents, I threw that in because my whole life, I think, it has been spent trying to make my mom proud of me. And right. I think a lot of us do that. Like, obviously, you want your parents to be proud of you.
Mm-hmm.
But there comes a line where you have to do what you want to do, not just to please your parent.
Mm.
Because at the end of the parent's life, when that parent dies, because, spoiler, they will.
Right.
What then? What's your purpose?
And you've just spent that entire time trying to make them happy.
Trying to please someone else.
And then once they're gone, and then who else?
And it's almost like people who do that, their lives unravel because it's like, well, whose approval do I need now?
Right.
Either you start living for yourself finally, which is what you should have done in the first place, or you fall apart.
Wow.
Sorry, I just feel like I had a mini epiphany there. Like I felt like I was channeling some shit and I'm just like,
I know. I'm
I think
like,
I'm done talking right now.
I'm wrapping my brain around it about like when you decide to live fully for yourself and not please other people, then your eventual goal in life is just this is what makes me happy.
Exactly.
Right now.
This is what fulfills my
this
soul.
This is what fulfills. Okay.
This is my purpose. But okay. But I feel like it's not always exactly black and white.
No.
As a little addendum. Like there are, like I said, there's like rules. So you can't come into work wearing a bathing suit.
Right.
You should have empathy for others. And I think that goes a long way. Like I get irritated at my mom, but I also know that I'm not going to like throw her out on the street so that I can live my best life at home.
Right.
So it's a delicate balance of slowly and respectfully. I think maybe empathy for other people and respect for other humans is the key that holds it together.
Right, and making sure that your happiness isn't encroaching on other people.
Yeah.
And making sure that it's not impeding their happiness.
Right, and that's where life gets hard. How do you navigate that? And I think that's what we're all working on.
Scott, where are you with it?
I mean, my root of everything, it's like I think we said something on something for other people, and I kind of like, I like to flip things to make it more about me. So it's like living my life to my fullest. I'm not trying to live up to somebody else's life because at the end of the day, this isn't their life. This is my life.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when you continuously try to live up to somebody else's standards or do something to please somebody else, you're wasting your own energy if it doesn't truly make you happy. And eventually, like we're just talking about, the sad truth is one day there's going to be a time where it's like it's going to be your last breath. And I just wrote this. I journaled yesterday about this. It's like, I don't want to lay on my deathbed wondering, like, what if? Like, and that question goes to, what if I just lived the life that I wanted to live? And so it's kind of funny that you brought up the thought about going to work in a bathing suit. And yes, probably in most work situations, you can't do that. But let's say, you know, find the environment. If that's truly what makes you happy.
Right.
And this just goes, this is a weird example, but the bathing suit. You probably have a deeper root of like, why do I crave being in a bathing suit? Maybe you're not at the right job.
Right, right.
And that goes to people as well. So it's like, you want to be in a bathing suit, go work at a beach resort.
Right.
Find that thing that makes you happy. And I like resorting to the job thing because when we talk about living up to our parents' expectations, I always had, and my parents have been extremely, you know, just accepting of what I've gone into my career. Because when I went into college, I was like, I'm going to go be a physical therapist. I'm going to go in the medical field. Scratch that. I learned real quick and real hard lesson of like, that was not for me. As smart as I think, and I know I am, that wasn't the field.
Right.
That wasn't where my passion was. And it showed. My grades went down right away. I wasn't fitting in. I wasn't interested. And as soon as I started changing, my family was like, wait a second. You were going to be the one that was like the doctor. What about that? And I was like, well, I'm figuring it out. You know, I'm taking my time to figure it out. It took me years to finally get to a point where one day I walked into the college radio station. I was like, holy crap. It felt like someone just punched me in the face with passion. I never felt that before. And I walked in and I was like, this is it. Yeah. This is what I want to do. And even till this day, like, it's just, it's not even really a serious comment, but I still get triggered by it. If, like, let's say, like, my grandma asked me the other day, like, why don't you go into the news? Or, like, my dad says, why don't you be a reporter? I'm like, and I have to, and those moments might be, like, a little lighthearted, not as serious, but those are moments for me where I get super fired up, and I'm like, look, at the end of this, this is my life. This is what gives me fire. This is what gives me passion, what I want to do. So I know those are visions that you have, but this is me, and it happens all the time, whether you're going off, if people won't always understand what you're doing and why you're doing it. As long as you understand it and you follow through with it, you're living your life to the fullest.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes for me personally. Like when we do these stunts on the show or like let's say I put out – like this is just an easy example. Like I'll put a video of me like twerking or something. Just something funny. And of course, like my family always like, why are you doing that? Stop doing that. And I always set the reminder of like, hey, like this – I know that maybe you want to do that in your life. That's not for you. For me, it – makes people laugh. It makes me happy. It makes me like that's my life. I'm living that. And so no matter how many people or other things are trying to get you off track of what makes you happy, the root of it is your happiness. Because at the end of it, you're going to close your eyes one day, take your last breath, and there's going to be no more. So don't have any questions on what life you live. Do you live for somebody else or do you live for yourself?
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of where I fall with this whole thing.
How do you balance though what brings you happiness and when your parents are clearly trying to look out for you because, you know, they have years of experience
Absolutely.
On you. And so all the time they're not, it's not they're trying to hold you back, but they're like, wait a minute, I've been here before or I've seen this happen before mm-hmm. and I want to protect you from whatever the case may be. When do you take that into account?
I think you always take it into account. I think for an example, like I just said, like twerking. Let's say like their example is like, oh, you put things on the internet, it might come back to haunt you. You have to find out like if that's a risk you're willing to take. For me, it is. Let's say the twerking example on like Instagram, social media. It's always like, well, what about a job in the future? My passion lies in entertaining. So this is where my root is, where it's like, okay, if I, you know, I don't plan on straying off of jobs that don't fall in line with what I'm passionate about, and that's speaking and entertaining anywhere on a microphone. If somebody doesn't want me to work for them because I was twerking on my Instagram, then I'm not meant to work for you because that's who I am or that's right. who I was. If you're going to judge me because of past things or for my personality, then obviously we're not going to match up in the long run, and so we might as well not work together, and I will find the person or the place that believes in me because of everything I bring to the table. And so that's also with my parents as well. It's like, you know, eventually I'm going to have to learn these lessons. And so as much as you know, you want to teach and you want to show that, hey, maybe you shouldn't do this, some things I just have to learn.
Yeah.
And I'm right. going to learn it. And I don't know whatever I'm doing now is going to pay off. But for me, it's what feels the best. So I'm going to go and take that route. Because if I'm just living and wondering, like, what if I just would have done yeah. those things that made me happy of I could have the greatest job in the world, but I wasn't living to who I really was.
Right.
So it's a fake me in the end run, and I'm not trying to do that. I'm trying to be 100% me and just adapting through time.
And you have all those stories, by the way, of people that, because a lot of that is fear-based. Mm. I mean, I have a kid now, so I get it. Like, you don't want your kid to be, like, you know, starving and you know, out of work and like, in danger. Like, it's your job as a parent to protect. And you do that through fear because you're so afraid, like, if any, your job is to, like, not kill your kid. So
right.
you're just trying to watch out for them. But at the same time, if you're not able to take those risks and potentially fail, how
yes.
do you learn?
Exactly.
Like, what if somebody was like, okay, I'm going to just listen to my parents, and maybe they wanted to get in radio, and they're like, well, I don't know, your dad has a really good bank job lined up for you. And then they're like, okay, cool, I'm going to do that. That is safe, that is easy, and you go through the whole life with the safe bank job. And then what happens to your soul, your spirit, your fire?
Right.
You got money, but you don't got happiness.
What happens then? There's a plethora of things that could happen. Nothing happens, and then you just die, and you're like, well, that was life.
Mm.
Or what if after like 20 years, your safe bank job goes away?
Right.
Or what if you become so miserable that you kill yourself?
Mm.
I mean, anything. There is no safe job, or there's no right way to do life.
Right.
There's just not. And I mean, the people that judge, and this goes way back to my therapist, Maureen, in the summer when my brother said something really hurtful to me about a life situation that I'm going through. And he kind of like joked about it and was like, you know, making fun. And it was like a really easy write-off comment for him, but it really hurt my feelings. And that's when I brought it to therapy, and Maureen said that judgments are fears. Because the people that judge you are just afraid of whatever it is happening for them. So it's too uncomfortable for them.
Right.
Like your dad, Scott, is not going to put a twerking video out on the internet. That's too much.
Right.
That is not him. He's not going to do it. So then the extension of that fear is, well, my son can't do it. Like, what? That's why I'm judging. I'm judging because it's too much for me. So it's too much for anybody. And people don't realize, and that nobody does it. Well, people do it maliciously, but not a lot of people do it maliciously. Those are the internet trolls that you find that you're like, why are you so mean? They got some other deal. But like the people like your parents who are inadvertently judging you with that fear, it's because they can't, like, it's too much for them. So then when they put the little fire out in you, you've made them happy, and they're like, oh, my son, my daughter is safe. Except, are they happy?
And they don't take that into account.
No.
I think this is an important conversation, especially as our country comes out of the financial shitstorm that we're in right now. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of people, you listening, all of us, I mean, who knows? Hopefully we'll be fine too, but you never know.
You never know.
But I mean, you're going to have to make some hard decisions on what it is you love and what's going to bring home the money that you want.
Yeah.
Because maybe once this thing is over with, the job that you had won't be there. And there's going to be another opportunity that's going to say, hey, we're going to pay you a lot more money, but it's going to be soul crushing.
Right.
Oh, gosh.
And a lot of people are going to have to make that very hard decision. Yes. Coming soon.
Yeah. And there's nothing wrong, by the way, with doing things until you get to your best life.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like, let's say you have to take a job for a while that's not exactly in line with what you want, but it's able to push you to the next step. Because not everything just opens right away.
Right.
Sometimes you have to go through that hard shit like we did, Miguel. I mean, let's not forget that we didn't just walk into Market 19 on a morning show.
No.
On a CHR station.
Or even when we did, it'd be easy.
Right. Like, I thought, ooh, I'm like, my goal was to do a morning show. Well, never even. I wanted to do radio on a top 40 station. I had to spend 4 years in middays on a country station first. And then I had to go to this town in Florida that I thought was going to be like Tampa, and it actually was Alabama, and do mornings.
Shout out.
With it, that was very difficult and was not what I thought it was going to be for another 4 years. And then the whole shit show with Play 98.7, and then all that. Like, it took years, but your eye stays on the prize and you keep moving and making moves to get there. So don't count out doing something you don't want to do for a while. Just don't settle into something you don't want to
do. Yeah, like, there's ways, I think, and I do believe this, is like, if you have a job that, let's say it's not what you truly love, but you do have a passion in something else, let's say like making bracelets. Well, hopefully you find time after that job.
Right.
Start making some bracelets. Make sure that you're still feeding that passion with it. Like, I have a friend right now who, like, his passion is animation. He's doing a job right now that pays, you know, gets the food on the table, and, you know, that's fine. His true passion lies in animation, and, like, those jobs didn't line up right away after school. But the one thing I continue to tell him, and I know it's like you go home and you're tired, you don't want to work on that. But that's going to be your way out one day of that one job that's crushing your soul.
Right.
But you have to continue to work on it, even in those late hours when it's like, I'm just so tired. I want to go to bed. Like, just make sure you're feeding that passion so eventually you can leave that job that might be soul crushing in the moment, at least to give yourself an option.
There's nothing better than leaving work after a long day in a job you love and knowing that I did the damn thing for the day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, maybe tomorrow's going to suck. The day before that sucked. Maybe today sucked, but I gave it my all, and I put all of myself into it because I love it. Because when you half-ass a job, I feel like it tears away some of your soul.
You just spend so much time working.
Yes.
That's what we do. We just spend our whole life.
Absolutely.
Might as well do something that it's like, I got a little bit of passion out of it. That's my, like, for me, like, that's what I get scared of. I get scared that one day I'm going to be 90 and I'm gonna be like, I just spent, like, years of my life working. I think about that every morning when I see people, like, coming into work and they have families and kids and husbands and wives, and I'm like, you don't even, like, you really think about it. You barely see them people. You're
right.
At your job most of the time.
Mm-hmm. Right.
For me, that's terrifying to think, like, ooh, I'm going to be spending that much time away from my family and interacting, doing a job. What's that job going to be? That's going to be, it better be damn good. It's going to take me away from the people that I truly love in life.
Right.
No, it's true. I mean,
and then some people, their whole goal is just the family, let's say.
Yeah. Right.
And they're like, I have exactly what I want. I need to support it somehow. So I go do this job that maybe I don't love, but my family brings me so much passion and my job lets me do that more. That's cool.
True.
My main job is my family life. And my the job that I go to lets me take the kids to Disney World every couple of months and lets me do that. So you just have to figure it out. It doesn't, like I said, nothing looks the same.
Yeah.
However it works for you that allows you to live a passionate life, that's what you do.
And let this this moment in our country, in our world, be a moment to use that hopefully as a springboard for you.
Yeah.
If you're going through something really crazy.
This is like it's a clean slate.
It really, I mean, unfortunately, but fortunately, it is.
Well, there is no great change without chaos preceding it.
Absolutely.
I think Deepak Chopra said that. What is it? All great change is preceded by chaos. That's what it is. So... you can't get to the great change unless you go through the chaos shit.
Sister O'Connor.
Deepak did not say shit, but I did. And so, listen, you have to do this. Any metamorphosis, you're going to go through that shitty situation first.
Save this podcast if you're going to be in a transition and listen back to it. And hopefully it'll give you some guidance and some wisdom as you're trying to make those tough decisions. Because a lot of us, if not all, are going to have to make some hard choices coming up soon, I do believe.
Yeah.
All right, before we go.
We got to hurry. I just realized I got to get out of here.
I know. I found a clip from, do you see, what does it say on there, Holly?
It says, Melrose Place, Allison takes Amanda at D&D Advertising, like you were talking about earlier.
D&D Advertising. I don't know what the scene is. I just wanted to.
Oh, the clickety-click.
You hear that? That's Amanda Woodward. Hi,
Holly. Where the hell is Allison? I left specific instructions that no one was to take lunch out of the office for the rest of the week.
She's not really
out. Don't bother making excuses for her. I want to see her in my office as soon as she gets in.
That's what I'm talking about! When I was in middle school, I was like, that's me, bitch! I'm that tall white bitch right there!
Okay.
Yes, you are.
Yes, you are, boo-boo.
But I was a pudgy little black boy from Atlanta, so.
That's fine.
All right, Holly, what's all your social media?
Radio Holly on everything except for Facebook. Facebook is Holly on Hot 101.5.
Scott?
At Scott Tavlin on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter.
Miguel Fuller, MiguelFuller. You can find me on there. And make sure to leave us a review. We'll read it on the podcast. If you're listening on iTunes, and you can also listen on the Hot 101.5 app. Have a good day. We'll see you tomorrow.
Catch up on previous episodes of Miguel and Holly Uncensored now on the Hot 101.5 app or on iTunes on your smartphone.
It's Miguel and Holly Uncensored, Quarantine Edition, from Hot 101.5, made hot by Corona Beer.